Yo, what's up, everybody? Since you guys all know it is tax season, I want you guys to know that today's sponsor is brought to you by Magnolia Tax Services. If you're a business owner or a high-earning individual, take control of your finances with the tailored tax planning services of Magnolia Tax Services. Their team of certified public accountants and enrolled agents specializes in maximizing savings for individuals and businesses by utilizing the latest tax laws and strategies. From complex business structures to high net worth individuals, they'll develop a customized plan to minimize your tax liability and increase your bottom line. Don't leave money on the table. Contact our partners at Magnolia Tax Services today for a consultation and get $100 credit towards your service by clicking the link in the show notes. That's right, guys. Like I said in the beginning, it is tax season, so you want to make sure you tap in with my guys at Magnolia Tax Service today. And once again, that link is in the show notes. And now we'll get right into the show. Yo, 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 welcome back to the greatest show on earth, the Millionaire Mindset Podcast. I am host Xavier, and today I got another crazy episode, man. So y'all make sure y'all tap into this one. But before we start, I would like to advise all the watchers, all the listeners, to please subscribe, like, leave that 5-star rating, review, share, all those things. We would greatly, greatly appreciate it. And getting right into the show, man, I got a super, super, super special guest. This has been a long time coming. We've been trying to do this for a minute, and I finally got her in the studio. And she's going to do a lot of games. She's doing a lot of amazing things. So I'm super excited to have her on. And it's Kayla. Welcome to the show. What's good?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's actually amazing to be here right now. I love Dallas, and I'm really great to actually make it here as well.
Definitely. So,
thank you.
I'm glad to have you on. And getting right into it. So for the people who might be stuck under a rock, this may be their first time seeing or hearing, you know, do you mind giving some brief background on yourself?
So I am Kayla Perilla, for the people that don't know. And I have a clothing brand that I started when I was 18 years old, launched it back in 2019, and started from zero. And it was not doing the best in the first 9 months. And I made this crazy viral video with tracksuits. And from that point on, I've actually been killing it. I did 7 figures with my clothing brand. And now I'm currently teaching people how to, you know, start a clothing brand as well and, you know, scale their business with my marketing skills.
Yo, that's amazing. Like you really doing your thing. Like I said before we started, the first time I seen you was when you did that viral video. That video was everywhere, and that shit was so fire. But talk about, like, what made you get into clothing?
The one thing that made me get into clothing really was like seeing one of my friends design on a computer, and I just felt like, you know, I felt like I could do the same thing. So I'm like, let me start practicing graphic designing. And from that little skill that I learned, I went ahead and started a side hustle. So from learning that one skill, how to graphic design, I started a little side hustle. And from that point on, I'm like, okay, I know I could design my own clothes. I know I could start my own clothing brand. And that's actually what made me really want to start.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And you said that the first 9 months was kind of slow. Why do you think that is?
The first 9 months was very slow for me. And I would say this because I didn't really have like no pointers, not much pointers, no vendors. Nobody really gave me like, here's some vendors. Here's how to design. I had to do everything on my own. So I didn't have the best vendors. My quality was not the best. And my designs were not the best either because I just started learning how to graphic design. So it was kind of like a struggle for me beginning out. And I was getting like no sales some months.
Really?
Maybe one sale I know 1 month I probably made like $100 off of one sale, and that was it for the entire month.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm, for 9 months straight.
What was your social media audience and following like at this time?
I probably only had 700 followers.
Oh, damn.
I got to 1,000 followers. I don't know how. It was such a struggle. But I literally would go on Instagram, and I would tell myself, okay, 2 hours every day. I would scroll on other, you know, big brands, and I would just DM people for 2 hours a day, like, hey, I just started my business, give me a follow, whatever. Like, I was doing anything I can to get my followers up. It was crazy.
So,
and then I finally hit 1,000 followers.
Then you hit it with that viral video. So,
yeah.
So what was the lead up to that? Because that was a dope design, fire track suits and all that.
Yeah, that video came from finally getting the right vendors. So, you know, that first 9 months period where it was like a struggle for me, I didn't have good vendors and I did not have great designing skills yet. So it was a huge struggle till I found some good vendors. And I came up with like a design. I'm like, okay, I feel like nobody's doing reflective designs. And I went ahead and I said, let me do this design and let me market it a crazy way that nobody has seen before, and I bet it's going to go viral. I just had that mindset. Like,
really?
Yeah, so I'm marketing knew. Yeah, I just knew.
That's crazy that you knew that without even going viral at some point.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
A lot of times, I know my first time I went viral, it was an accident. I was just posting stuff, and stuff went viral. I didn't really figure out, like, oh, this is how you go viral. It took me a while to learn that. And you ain't even go viral yet, and you kind of had an idea on this the one right here.
Yeah. That idea just came because I'm like, okay, I never seen no brand put color-coded, like, crazy colors next to each other and make and everyone reflective. Turn at the same time. I had the idea, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to execute it. And then I did. Within 4 minutes, I was just like, I was mind blown because I actually did go viral.
Was those people that, like, homies you knew from back home and stuff that you just had come do it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I figured that. So what happened? Let's get into the aftermath when you made that and you posted that video. What was the aftermath for that?
The aftermath of that video, within 4 minutes, I already had like 2,000 likes, or within 20 minutes, I already had like 10,000 likes.
Really?
It was crazy. And then I literally gained so much followers. I think it got over 2 million views within like a day or 2 days. And then,
the orders was crazy.
The orders was going crazy. I think I made $20,000 in sales within 30 minutes. And then I did 100,000 within like, I think 14 or 18 days. I don't remember.
Was you ready? Did you already have everything ready to go?
I did. But then I was like, you know what? I'm going to just do a pre-order because everyone's like, oh, it's sold out. Like, can you just open up the site? Let us order. We'll wait. And I'm like, okay, I did it. And then I opened up a pre-order and then everyone's just ordering. It was crazy.
I know a lot of clothing line owners, they do like drops, like seasonal drops. Is that was that something that you did too, or was just you released whenever?
It was a seasonal drop, but because it went so viral, people wanted it even during the summer. So now it's kind of like a forever like thing. Like it's a forever product.
Really?
Yeah.
And then, like you said, seven figures. You hit seven figures. How soon did you hit seven figures after that video?
I think I hit seven figures in 2021. I think June.
Damn.
June 2021, that's when I was like, okay, I hit seven figures. So that video was like, I think 11 months later.
That's so quick.
Yeah, it was quick.
Like even when you talk about how the first 9 months was slow, that's typical in business. But to hit seven figures in business, most businesses never hit that point. So hitting that point that quick is crazy. So salute to you. Salute to you for doing that. So what you think is the key? Because let's be real. Everybody got a clothing line.
Yeah.
It's one of the hardest things to do because everybody has it. So what do you think is the key to launching the clothing line and making it a real success for real?
I feel like the biggest key for launching like these clothing brands and having it to become successful is pretty much just having a marketable product, having a sellable product, and having a great design, right? And when you have those three things, if you have the best marketing skills, it's like, how could you lose in this market, right? When I started my clothing brand, other people had one, but it wasn't as, I don't think it was as saturated as it is now, but it's still a market that people can have success in a lot, even though it's saturated. It just all comes down to bringing out a product that is either not common or marketing it a different way that no one has seen,
before.
Yeah.
What about vendors? Because this is something that I know a lot of people struggle with. Like you said, when you started, you didn't have like the best vendors. So what about that part?
Definitely. I feel like vendors are like a key component as well. Right. And if you have the right vendors, it'll just make your life easier.
How do you find the right ones?
You could get them at Alibaba.com, okay. Or if a lot of vendors will DM you, but if you just, DM back and say, can I get a free sample or something, you can tell if they're real or not. Or people like myself, I actually sell vendors lists too. So
okay.
I kind of help out new brand owners, like get those vendors.
How was it after you went viral with that video? Did your following, like on Instagram, did it just naturally go crazy? Did you have to put a lot of work into growing it, or it just went just naturally went crazy?
I think it was actually, it actually just started growing up. And what I would do is I would just pin like my Instagram under my tweets and just tell everyone, like, make sure you guys follow my Instagram too, because I'm not trying to just grow my following on Twitter. So if one thing goes viral on Instagram, I try to plug in like my other social medias, so like all my social medias grow together. So when that video went viral, my Instagram followers grew
a lot.
Yeah.
And you went viral a lot of times since then. So let's keep it real. For people that know this, that went viral, it's a science behind it.
Yeah.
To a large degree. Mm-hmm. So if you mind sharing, break that down from your opinion on how to really go viral for real.
Yeah. For me, that most viral video you're talking about, that wasn't even the first time I went viral. That was probably like the most viral I think my clothing has ever went. So the science to it is every social media has like a different ways that we can go viral on. So what I realized was like on Twitter, back then I would tweet my clothing brand and I would make sure I would take an aesthetic picture. A lot of people just take any kind of pictures of their brands and I'm like, okay, that's not going to work. So I used to take pictures of like my pairs of shorts on like a clean little surface, and then I would take a really aesthetic photo and I'll come up with a good caption of, you know, like, it costs $0 to retweet my small business or things like that. And then people would be like, oh, you know, yeah, it costs $0. Okay, retweet, support, love it, support. And I would be going viral a lot before I even went for real viral with that tracksuit video. So that's pretty much, it comes down to like a good picture, the good content, and then it comes down to how you deliver it. Captions. To your audience, yeah, your captions, yeah.
And you know, the average, what's they call it, the attention span that people have today, they say is less than a goldfish. They say it's 7 seconds, and wow. I feel like that's a large part of it as well, because let's be real, a lot of video, if you start a video off, and you got 3 seconds to keep my attention. You got to do some shit, say some shit, read some shit that's gonna keep my attention. If it don't, I'm gonna keep scrolling. So in the 3 seconds, you got to have some kind of hook, in my opinion, to get people to watch it. And then that's what's going to keep people there. And then whatever you do after that, it's some strategy to that part too. But the first 3 seconds is like the most important for real.
Yeah.
Because if you don't got no hook that's going to keep them there, I'm going to keep scrolling.
That's true.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So, and this is important, first of all, because people, when we talk about going viral, some people still don't understand, like, why is this important? Like, I don't give a shit about going viral. They might be in business. They're like, I don't give a shit about going viral.
Yeah.
Why is that even important to go viral on these platforms?
Because for me, that one time going viral changed my life forever. Like, I never went back. I never went back. It was just went viral. Once you go viral once, it's like you kind of have to keep that flow and that momentum that you got from going viral. So I kept that flow and that momentum. A lot of people will go viral and be like, okay, like I got it, I made it. No, you didn't yet. So if you keep that flow and momentum, all the attention's on you. And I feel like once you have attention, like attention sells.
It does.
Good or bad, it sells. So it's like once you got that attention on your product or your brand, you have to keep monetize and keep going, keep scaling it, because it's like you can, it's only up from there, and it's life changing.
It is. You think all publicity is good publicity?
Sometimes, yeah. People, I feel like the internet, I feel like sometimes like a lot of celebrities have bad publicity. It's like a couple of months later, it's like, oh wow, she's doing something good, and people kind of forget.
People forget about it.
Yeah, but I feel like that's what they say. All publicity is good publicity.
That's what they say. That's what they say. But you know, that's been a saying that's been around since like forever. And I'm always wondering now, like, did social media change that reality?
Yeah, I feel like it depends, because it depends on the publicity. Bad publicity is like, okay, God forbid I posted a tragedy that happened to me, or like a car accident. Like that's like a bad situation, but it's kind of like you might people will see it, and it's kind of like you might get love from it, or people might send you like good messages or whatever. Like it kind of, people go viral from that kind of stuff. Like I know someone that, if you take like a huge L on something, people, it's like bad, but it kind of like brings in good support from it.
Yeah. Because the L is relatable.
Yeah. L's are relatable.
When you're winning all the time, it's not relatable.
Yeah, exactly.
That's one thing I learned. People want to, it's crazy. When you start from ground zero, everybody want to see you win. They'll help you build up. But once you start winning and you start winning too much, it's like, oh no, you're not relatable no more. You're not taking no L. So people now, they start kind of low key wanting you to lose and want to see you lose. That's why, in my opinion, sometimes it's important to not come across as too perfect online.
Exactly.
Because that's going to breed a lot of evil eyes, they say. People want to see you lose. They're like, I want to see that. I want to see that motherfucker. Like, Kayla been winning for 5 years straight.
Yeah.
She ain't posting no L's. I want her to lose now. They're going to get satisfaction out of seeing you lose. It's the craziest thing in the world. So before you started, what were you doing before you started the clothing line?
I was actually working at Kids Foot Locker.
Word.
Yeah.
I can see that. You seem like a definitely into shoes, so I could definitely see that. So when did you leave? Like, was it a certain point in the business where you like, I'm out now?
Yeah, I definitely left after, I would say, like a month and a half.
Only a month after, huh?
Yeah, a month and a half. It really wasn't for me.
Was it any strategy in you leaving, or was it just like you went in one day or didn't go in one day? It was like, I'm not doing it no more.
I was just like feeling like, I don't know. I just didn't like getting told what to do. Like, I didn't like getting told what to do. And like, it was pretty stressful. Like, okay, like hours, certain things. And I wasn't even making a lot of money. Right. So it's like all that went into getting into like my mind. Like, okay, like, yeah, this isn't going to work out for me. So I just, I left that job. And then that was it. I think I got another job. Yeah, I did.
So you always knew you wanted to be an entrepreneur?
I actually had goals to just be not an entrepreneur, but just probably be an investor later on in life. Like that was never, I never thought I would be a business owner. I just knew that I would be successful in my own way, probably by like graduating college and getting a job with my bachelor's degree and probably investing like when I'm 25 or something.
Was that exposed to you early on?
What?
Like entrepreneurship, investing and stuff like that. Cause I know a lot of times at that 19, 18, even 20. That's not something a lot of people thinking about.
No, I was 17 when I first seen it.
Okay.
And I was like learning about it. I was watching Grant Cardone on YouTube and I'm like, okay, I love what he does. I love this real estate stuff. I love it. I'm like, okay, when I graduate college and I get like a good job or something, making like maybe 70K, 80K a year, I could save up my money, you know, live at home, save up my money, save up 20,000, get my dream car, and probably start investing in real estate or stocks or something one day. Like, that was my end goal. I never knew that I would be, like, an entrepreneur.
Really?
Yeah.
That's wild. So, let's talk about this, because you making your business hit seven figures and stuff. Like, what was the strategies? Because getting the money, as you know at this point, getting the money is probably the easiest part. But maintaining it is where, like, a lot of work and strategy comes in. Yet. So, was that difficult for you, especially at that early age, to maintain all this money that you just got, and you got it fairly quickly?
Yeah, it was not difficult at all, because going into college, like, I already knew what I wanted. I knew I wanted to be an investor. I knew I wanted to save money. I knew I wanted to like be something one day. I just didn't know exactly what route. I just knew, okay, manage money, like don't spend it. And when I did realize I wanted to start selling products, I'm like, okay. When I started getting the money, I'm like, wow, like I'm actually getting this money without a job. It was a huge surprise to me. When I seen $50,000, like a $50,000 deposit, I'm like, wow, this is crazy. Like, mom, I told my mom, I'm like, wow, this is
wild. She probably was more shocked than you.
She was shocked. She's like, no way. Like, Kayla, you used to just love playing video games and just like chill all the time. No way that you're the kid. Like you're my child that's actually like this successful. I'm like, I always was smart. I just liked to play like games back then, but I don't know.
It was funny.
I was good managing it though, for sure. I don't really like to spend too much.
You don't. Looking at your page, that's the impression I get. You don't seem like a spender.
Yeah, because I would have been bought a lot of jewelry, all these cars, but I've been had that mindset from watching like Grant Cardone and Bob Proctor and all these other like millionaires. I'm like, okay, this is how they invest their money. This is how they're rich years later. I figured you could have all the success today, but if you're not investing your money properly, like who knows in the next 5 years if the market changes? Who knows if, you know, like e-com isn't a thing or these things aren't a thing, but you already know that real estate's always going to be here. So I already knew. At 17, 18, I was studying it. Okay, one day I want to do real estate, or one day I want to invest into stocks, whatever. I just already had that mindset before the clothing.
That's heavy. And something, well, I was laughing about something you said. You said you were having a conversation with your mom. She was like, who knew you would have been the one? That's so funny because I had a very similar conversation with my mom. I remember talking to my mom on the phone. She was like, Zay, I'm going to be honest. I never would have thought in a million years you would be out here doing what you was doing. She was like, you was the... In school, you was my most troubled kid. Like, I was like, no bullshit. I was like an FD student. Like,
really?
Since sixth grade.
Wow.
I tried to drop out of high school, luckily my mom and dad, they like, nah, you ain't doing it. Cause I just wasn't doing none of it. I had a teacher one time tell me, she was like, yeah, you gonna be a dog, you gonna be working at McDonald's and stuff like,
no
like,
way.
No way. I really had a teacher tell me that before. So firsthand, I had a conversation like that with my mom. She was like, but it's usually a lot of entrepreneurs I'm learning from being around and speaking. They was that one coming up where people were like, man, we don't know what, I don't know what you're going to do as an adult. And they turned out to turn.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. But talk about, because like you said, it's been pretty easy for you to keep that bread, manage that bread, because I know a lot of entrepreneurs, when they experience success as early as you experience it, they blow the bag at least twice. They're going to blow it before they get it right. So like, going more about that discipline that you have to not mess it up, because that's extremely impressive, like for real. If my business hit seven figures in my early 20s, I know I'm 100% sure I would have blew it.
Yeah.
Multiple times until I got it right. So just talk about that more.
I feel like for me, it's different because there was a moment of time where, you know, my family, we didn't really have much. So it's like, I already knew okay, once I get it, I'm not going to want to go back down. I just want to keep going up. I know how it feels to like not have certain stuff and not have much. So it's like, wow, I'm very grateful for everything I have. The best thing I can do for myself is learn how to multiply it, learn how to invest it, and just, you know, stay on track. Like, yeah, I bought myself like a nice little watch, but I only bought myself that until I had like a certain amount. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't feel comfortable doing too much until I have certain things in line. So I already told myself I wouldn't buy this unless I have this investment or I have that much invested somewhere, because it just doesn't feel right. I feel like I'm disrespecting like my future self by like blowing money like on like crazy stuff without completing like my goals first. And a lot of people tell you, you know, enjoy your money, which I do. You know what I'm saying? I travel. I love to eat. My favorite thing to do is eating, like travel, going out to eat and going to nice restaurants. So yeah, I do enjoy my money, but I still have that mindset to invest it now because you don't know what could happen later.
No, I remember the first time, and I'm saying this because I wish I would have had that mentality when I remember the first time I started making some crazy money. And I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be like this forever. That's what a lot of times entrepreneurs think when they take off. Like, this is going to be like this always.
Yeah.
And then you have those slow periods.
Yeah.
And all that money you blew, you like, damn.
Yeah.
I wish I still had that bread. All those stupid fits I was just going to buy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Spending crazy money, going to the club, buying sexist bottles. You gonna wish you had it. So you having that mindset already, understanding that like a season could come where it might not be like this. I need to have this bread tucked.
That's crazy.
That's why it's beyond your ears for real. You ain't learning the hard way. But talk about when it comes to social media. Let's say if somebody does not in clothing or branding like that, but they were you was at years ago and you said you only had 700 followers. Mm-hmm. What's your best piece of advice for them to grow their following and grow their brand at a rapid pace?
I feel like at this time, when you only have that much followers, like 700 followers, and you want to grow your brand at a faster pace than usual, I definitely would recommend people to get a little bit repetitive on TikTok with their content. Mm. So what I mean by that is I've been seeing that people will have one product, right? And they will have about 20 videos for it. And then somehow one of them will go viral. So why does that help? You know, it helps because like you might make one video for your product and you might think that, dang, like nobody's interacting with it. It's not going anywhere. But then on your 10th TikTok video, it goes viral and boom, you sold out. That's how TikTok works. Yeah. Maybe not on Instagram, you're going to post the same picture over and over and over. But on TikTok, you can make content like 10 different ways. And I've seen a couple of people do it, you know, make tons of videos. And then I'm like, oh, this went viral. I go on their page. I'm like, this is their only product, but they're selling out. They're making money. And it's because they didn't give up on that one video that didn't go viral or didn't hit, you know. So for me, that's what I would recommend. And also Instagram in 2023 now, Instagram is not really the best picture platform. As you can see, reels are like pretty much really what's going up for people in other clothing brands. That's what I've been doing. I've been doing straight reels. And one of my reels went viral to the point where I got like 7,000 plus followers from just one reel. And it's like trending sounds, whatever like the new like biggest platform is, which is like TikTok. Now yep. Instagram has this reel section. So it's like, once I add a new feature on Instagram, you better use it because that's what's going to help your brand.
Because they're going to prioritize it.
Yeah. So that's what I recommend for brands, you know, trying to get that rapid pace.
No, that's game. That's a lot of value right there. Let me ask you this. What's your biggest regret since you've been in business?
My biggest regret? Honestly, that's really tough. I feel like.
You ain't had one yet?
I don't know if I had one yet. I'm trying to think. Maybe, I don't know, maybe like vendors, maybe like trusting vendors. I don't even know. I take calculated moves, honestly.
Okay, let me ask you this. Have you had to change your circle because like I said, you experienced a lot of success at a very early age. And a lot of times that happened. You growing at a pace that other people around you might not be growing at, and these might be people you've been knowing for a long time. Has that something that you experienced?
Yeah, I have. I just I meet a lot of people in the process. Like, let's say going viral or, you know, putting my story out there or people seeing my products, I'll meet other entrepreneurs and then I connect with them as well and I make new friends. But I don't know. It depends. I don't really hang out with a lot of my older friends as much as I do with my newer friends. Like, that's I have a really small circle now. And then I have, like, a lot of new business friends because I've just been really busy traveling. Okay. And I spend more time with, like, new people that I meet because they kind of fit my new my new path.
Do you feel like people want or expect a lot from you now that they know, like, you know, because it's out there now. You got a big following. You done made the money. People know this. So has it been something that is it been? Do people expect or they see you? It's kind of like, Kayla, can you do this for me? Well, let me get this advice from you. Is that something that kind of you've been dealing with?
I feel like it's kind of the other way around.
Really?
I feel like when I got successful, it's like more people try to like be there. They want to be there to help more.
That's fire.
Yeah. So I feel like people will just be quicker to ask, like, okay, like, if you know any vendors, like, they wouldn't really, like, ask, but I always give it to them for free. Like, people that I know, like, if they have, like, a question about business, they'll be like, hey, like, I'll pay. I'll be like, nah, you don't have to. Like, I just give it to them for free, like, sometimes, like, close friends, because it's like, you know, like, we cool. Like, just because, like, I got a lot of followers or, you know, like, I've
been. People think you changed.
Yeah, like, no, like, if we've been best friends, like, for this long amount of time, like, I'm not going to, you know, be selfish or stingy with information. I give out free games to strangers, like, every day. You know what I'm saying?
But that's what I'm saying, because sometimes you'll be that same person, but it's the perception of you. Like, people would think, like, oh, you doing all these things. Now you made all this money. You're not that same person. Without realizing that energy, it kind of make you feel awkward sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, with the expectation people have around you. Like, I've been having this conversation with a lot of entrepreneurs. That's why I'm bringing it up, asking you, because this is something that I'm seeing that a lot of people experience it when it comes to dealing with family. They're dealing with friends. It's like success brings like a weird energy, and that's why, in my opinion, at least that successful people mostly hang around other successful people, because the other people outside that can't really understand you. Not that you better than them, anything like that, but it's just like, it's two different lanes and pages that y'all on that it's kind of hard to relate to. That's why I was asking you that.
Oh, that's true. I mean, some people can't really relate to like my time or. Like, they probably be like, oh, like, they just don't really understand, like, what I have going on. So, it's like, if I don't talk to somebody, if I don't talk to a friend for, like, a whole week or 2 weeks, like, not everyone's, they're going to be like, oh, like, oh, you're being distant. I'm like, bro, like, I'm just stressed. You know what I'm saying? Like, I actually had that issue, like, last month. You know what? I'm like, bro, I'm just stressed out. Like, I don't got to talk to people every day. Like, I work better when I'm actually not talking to much people.
Me too.
I love being alone sometimes. Like, I need that.
But people take that personally.
They do. It's like, people know me for years sometimes. It's like, how do you not get it at this point in time? I need that time to myself.
People, man, I didn't deal with that with family and everything. Like, you don't, they may not hear from you for a while.
Yeah.
And then not only do they might be saying things to you, they saying things to other people about you. Then they coming with you like, what was going on with y'all? You like, ain't nothing going on. I'm just working.
Yeah.
Like, it ain't even crossing my mind for real. Yeah. So it's hard for people to grasp that. It's a very interesting dynamic though. Mm-hmm. But things definitely become more personal for people when they like, you're like, man, I'm just working, man. That's all I'm doing. I can't talk to all these people at once because it's gonna throw me off.
I don't like exchanging energies too much, especially when I have something like big going on. like a big project on the way, I like to just lay low and just focus on it until it's done. Then I'll just pop out and, you know, everyone will see, okay, maybe that's why she was distant. You know, like I was just working on something like really important.
How do you maintain that discipline?
I just focus. I don't know. I just keep focused. You know, I kind of stay away from, like, I don't really watch Netflix or anything. I just kind of stay away from like playing the game, because I actually am a gamer. So like if I'm like really focused on something, I'll probably like not play my game. Like that's pretty much it.
Are you a gamer? Like for real, for real?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what you doing your for like as a hobby in your free time? What you playing?
Like Call of Duty.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Okay. You be streaming it?
I actually want to.
Why you don't do that?
I'm thinking about it.
You got
it.
The audience.
I know, right? I really might. Yeah, it's really fun. Like, I don't know, playing with my family and stuff, but
man, I stay away. What's it called? I have an extreme obsessive personality. Okay? When I do something and I enjoy it, I get obsessed with it and I just won't stop. So me, I completely stay away from games, because if I start playing, I have fun, I'm going to be on the game.
That literally was me last summer. It was crazy, but I feel like for me, like, my obsessive things would probably just be like playing the game or going out to eat. Like I'll do that like a lot, and it's like, okay, like let me just chill.
Mm. What's the long term goal and vision you have? Because you only 23, right?
Yeah.
So where do you see yourself 37 years?
I see myself owning multiple properties, probably, being like a all around businesswoman and just like invested in like investments, like property, like real estate has always been like my goal.
Really?
Yeah. And like just being like financially free and like my house and like just being chilling. Happy, just chilling. Yeah.
Yeah. I get the vibe that you were like a minimalist, like you don't need a lot to, you know, it's like you say, you like to travel, you like to eat, but other than that, you just kind of out the way and chilling for real.
Mm-hmm.
So you never been into like the club scene and none of that?
Nah. I mean, like, I know, like, when I was younger, like, I know that one night at the club. Like, I know if I go to the club right now and I'm in, like, I have the energy to do it, I know I'm going to be like, wow, like, that was so fun, I want to do it again.
Really?
But it's like, I've been away from it so long, it's like, I don't even feel like going. Like, it depends. Like, if somebody calls me, like, hey, Kayla, we're going to be in Dallas. It's something where it's like, a huge event going on. Like, I'd be like, okay, I'm going. But, like, to going to the club now, it's like, okay, Kayla, you want to go to the club? I'm like, no, I don't feel like going.
You network a lot?
Yeah.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
What do you, give the people some game, because I feel like a lot of people, they don't know how to network. As crazy as this sounds, a lot of people don't know how to connect with other people. Give the people some game on how to truly network, for real.
I feel like networking is probably the best thing people can do, honestly. Like, I literally was at a party yesterday for my friend's birthday, and I networked with, like, so much people, like, it's like, okay, we're all in the same environment. Just, hey, like, hey, what do you do? So where are you from? What do you do? It's just like a simple question. And then I realize the person sitting next to me does the same thing that I do. And it's like, okay, cool. Oh, you know that person? Okay, they just put me on to somebody that could help me in the future. And I put them on to someone that could help them in the future. So it's like just a simple question of just, hey, like, where are you from? Or what do you do? Opens up a whole nother door for you to meet someone that could help you on your journey.
I agree.
Yeah.
But one thing that I think people kind of forget is that they kind of be valuable themselves. Like some people will come from a level where they have no value, and they will come to you, Kayla, and expect all these things for you. Expect you to put them on all this game, give you time, all these things. And it's like, not to say like, what are you going to do for me? But there has to be kind of like a balance and an even exchange. That I think that's the biggest part that people forget when it comes to networking today. Cause it's like, let's be real. Let's say I ain't got no following. I work. I got a job. I ain't nowhere. I ain't started no business. I DM you, Kayla, and I say, hey, Kayla, can I treat you to some coffee? Because I want to pick your brain. More than likely, because it's not that you think you better than me, but you just so busy and your time is already so crazy. You don't have the time to sit out at Starbucks and give me all this game for nothing.
Yeah.
I'm about to come a different way. Yeah. With some different value to make you want to connect with me.
Yeah, that's like me contacting like a millionaire, like a multimillionaire that does what I want to do. I'm like, hey, like, can you just give me some free game? Like, let's have a seat out at dinner. Give me all the game that you can offer me.
People expect that, though. I'm pretty sure you got a million DMs of people saying, hey, Kayla, can we sit down and talk and you tell me, put me on to this, put me on to that? And you like, what the f-?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd just be like, it's crazy. I'd be like, that's a little crazy, but you know.
That's what people expect. So Well, then, if you mind sharing this, what was, with your brand, what was the most you made in a day?
I think, I don't even know. That's tough. Maybe like 60,000 or 70,000.
Damn.
I don't remember.
How did you do it?
We just had a lot of planned marketing.
Okay.
A lot of photo shoots, a lot of videos planned out for that one day. And, yeah, I think it was definitely like 60,000. I just don't remember.
That's how you know you're getting to it.
I forgot to keep track that day, but I was just like, wow, this is crazy.
How long was that planned marketing though?
A month. I already have the influencers connect. I already have the people on go to do my photo shoots. I already have the people on go to, you know, let's get this photo shoot done. Let's get this content done. And then we had the flyers ready. Everything was just ready for that one day. And then we went, okay, and let's run the ads now. And let's get it going. And then it was going good. It was doing really good.
That's hard though, because a lot of people, like I said, when I ask that question, they hear that you made 60,000-70,000 a day. They'll think that's something instantaneously without realizing it was a month that led up to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a lot of work that leads up. Like at the end of the day, because let's keep it real, people, they hear your story, similar stories, mm-hmm. and they want to emulate that. But they want it immediately. Like they're going to hear this and they're going to be like, damn, Kayla turned up. I want to do that. And I want to have it done by May.
Nah, that's not how it works.
Being able to
prepare for like a month to make 70,000 in a day, and I don't even know. I literally was looking at it the other day. I think it might have been 90,000. I don't even know. I really don't remember. But it's in my TikTok video actually. I think it might be between that. So people don't realize to be to a point where like I worked to a month to get ready to prepare for that 90 or 80 or whatever thousand it was. It didn't happen like in a couple of months. It took me a lot of time to build these connects, a lot of time to get my team in place, get my ads team in place, and then, boom, we have everything in like connected. And as soon as we want to plan to do a drop or do something, like it's gonna be easier for us to do that versus, you know, just hopping into a clothing brand and thinking I'm gonna make 90,000 in a day. It's not really how it works.
It's not how it works at all.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Do you think there's a lot of obstacles as far as being a businesswoman, being a young woman in business?
Yeah, there is. I feel like there is obstacles on just trying to like maybe collab certain people. I feel like I didn't have the platform to collab with a lot of people at first, but I was really like really blessed to have known YouTubers from my own city. So it's kind of like, okay, I kind of just put them in my brand, but to collab with other people, I didn't really like know how to at first.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I didn't know how to hit up influencers. Like, I'm like, okay, like, what do I do? People are like, oh, you just email. I'm like, I don't know how to conduct the email. Like, what do I say, like, to their team, you know? So it was really, like, hard for me at first. But I was, like, so young. I'm like, bro, I just graduated high school. How do I email this huge influencer? And, like, I just didn't know how to do it. Now I know, like, okay, this is how you do it. Yeah.
Dude, you got a team around you, right?
Yeah.
So how did you put that together? What were the things you were looking for to know, like, this is a good member from our team? How did you recognize those traits in these people?
It all came from marketing, too. Like, a lot of people that are on my team now was, like, a word of mouth of, okay, this,
really?
This, yeah, like, just networking. Yeah, did I say networking?
Yeah,
networking. I had a friend that also has a clothing brand, and, you know, he found someone to do his advertising with Facebook, and I'm like, okay, cool, like, okay, he put me in contact with that person. Boom. Now I have somebody that's running my marketing 24/7. So my store is open 24/7. We're getting double the sales that I would get just by being organic. So then another person I met does email marketing. So it's kind of like word of mouth and networking with people. If I knew nobody that had a successful clothing brand, I wouldn't have known, okay, this is somebody that does graphic designing. This is someone that does this or that. You know, it's kind of like connecting with people that are in the space as well gives you more room to get those connects and people on your team.
And you mentioned Grant Cardone. And one thing about Grant, I know he's real big on sales.
Yeah.
So is sales something that you prioritize learning when you started this journey?
Sales, no. I was really focused on the product mostly because I really wanted to get a really high quality product. And it was such a struggle for me. So I'm like, that's all I want. I want to be able to have people with like nice fitted clothing that just like pops on Instagram, clothing that like it's colorful, it looks nice, like something different. Like that was my biggest thing, like just getting my designs to actually work for me.
Because that made it easier to market, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. When you got this is what I try to tell people. When you got a dope product, whatever it is, what is some digital stuff or actual physical product, as long as the product is dope and you feel like it's dope, it's going to make it a million times easier to market. A lot of people struggle marketing, in my opinion, because they don't really believe in what they're putting out. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you don't believe in what you're putting out, it's gonna be hard for you to really make that post on Instagram because you don't even really believe it yourself. Uh-huh. And people see that.
That's true.
People have no idea that people could see. They see authenticity. They see if you confident. They see if you're not confident. People see all that. And if you're not confident in what you're putting out there, people like, why should I believe that this is value?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's, at the end of the day, as an entrepreneur, number one, you got to be confident. But number two is, whatever you're doing, you got to be confident in that, because it's going to be easier for you to be confident.
Yeah. Because
everybody naturally not a confident person. I know a bunch of entrepreneurs that's millionaires, multimillionaires. You meet them, you'll be like, this seems like the most unsure person I ever met in my life.
No way.
And I swear to God. And then I got other people that I know that you will be extremely confident, and they might have the same results or something completely different. So it's a lot that goes into this. I'll say that. What you think is the number one reason for your success?
I feel like my creativity and my marketing skills. I feel like I have some of the best marketing skills in this clothing brand space. I'm really good at marketing, and a lot of people connect with me for that. And it's like, I just have the brain. Like, give me a product.
Let me help
you market. Yeah, I think it's natural.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, in my opinion, I think marketing is at the highest level is the ability to read and understand people. And that's something that I don't know if you could teach. What you think?
I think I can teach it.
You think you? I'm talking about the ability to read people.
Ability to read people? Yeah. Oh, no. That's kind of hard to teach. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe you can teach it.
You think so?
But I don't know if I can teach it. I can teach it, but it's like, I feel like for me, marketing is just marketing. I don't know. Like, reading people? You think so?
I think it's reading people.
Because it's like, if I'm marketing on my Instagram, I have like 100,000 followers. I don't know every single person.
Think about it this way, though. You know, it's the reason they follow you, because you know what they would like to see. So you kind of read that. That takes a level of reading people.
Okay.
Like when you went viral.
Well, then, yeah. Okay. Well, actually, when I went viral, I feel like...
You knew it because you knew what people liked.
I knew that people wanted to see something different.
That's a level of reading people.
That's the thing, but I don't know. Like, so you think I'm subconsciously reading my audience?
Yes.
Then, absolutely. Yeah, I think definitely I can teach that.
You think you can?
I do then on a daily basis, because I tell people, you have to figure out your niche. You can't just put out... I can't just take suits and ties and just start marketing on my clothing brand page, because I already know what my niche is. I already know what I do. A lot of people, when you start a clothing brand, you kind of like test the waters to see, okay, what is your niche? Like, what do people draw to? I realized people were drawing to my track suits more than they were drawing to like simple shorts that I was putting out. And somebody else's brand, people might draw to like simple clothing, then they'll draw to like the super dramatic design clothing. So it's kind of like, you kind of have to figure out your audience, which is the same thing I think as reading.
Yeah, it is.
So once you figure that out, you could just tell by like how you post. If you post two posts right now, right? And let's say like for your Instagram, if you have an Instagram that you post like this stuff, if you post two videos, right? And someone's talking about how to bake cookies, and then the other video is talking about how to start a real estate company, whichever one gets the more likes and views, you already know that's what your followers want to see.
That's what they want to see.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. It goes back to, it's a level of
understanding. Yeah, I feel like that's easy.
Once you
get on social media, it's easy.
It's crazy because I feel the same way, which is why. But so many people come to me, and I'll be like, I can explain it to you, but I feel like it's one of those things that, as much as I can explain, it's something that you kind of gotta innately understand, because mm-hmm. nobody really taught it to me. I was just on long enough, and naturally, when I got in my lane, I just knew what people wanted to see. I can't really explain it.
I feel like for me, I knew, but I didn't have the resources yet. And for me, if I'm mentoring somebody, which I do, I'll try to guide them to help them read their audience as well, because we might have two different audiences.
Exactly.
So I'll try to tell somebody like, okay, I see that you posted these things and people reacted to it more. Why don't you start, you know, making products or marketing this similar way and continuing like that success for your brand? You know, like, don't switch it up, like switch it up, but not right now. Like keep seeing and keep like practicing and testing the water to see what works for your brand. And that's how pretty much I try to teach people, like, this is how your audience is. That's how you scale with your audience.
Exactly. And you said you feel like you amazing at marketing. And I think you do. Do you think, let me ask you this. Do you think you can pop off any brand?
Any brand.
Like say somebody come to you and they say, Kayla, I'm a chef. I'm trying to pop off. I ain't got no following. You think you can make them blow up on the internet? I think you can.
Of course. I think I can too. It's not hard. You just gotta. I know exactly what I would do. Give me someone that's a chef. Let me sit with them. Let me see. Okay, let me study your brand. Let me start seeing what's working in social media. Let me like that's where I would start, and that's what I'm doing right now with my mentees as well. Like, I'm seeing what's working on social media right now. How could we put their brand out there and get them some sales or engagement or followers? Like, that's pretty much how I would do it. But yeah, a chef came up to me. Yeah, like, let's work.
I think you, because I. Like, how I see it, if you could blow up a brand on the internet, it looks easy, but I think it's one of the hardest things to do, for real.
Yeah.
But I think if you can do it, I think that skills and strategies and understanding you have translates to many things. So I think if you could do it once, more than likely, if you truly committed to it, you could do it again no matter what the niche is.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got a simple understanding of people. And as long as you got that, I believe you could do that shit again. But... Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. When you talk about mentoring, what are you, just for the people that's listening and watching, what are you mentoring people on right now?
Right now I'm mentoring people on like business, how to build their business, how to grow their social medias, how to grow their sales. Pretty much if somebody comes up to me or wants to be in my mentorship and they have like a struggle with their brand, or they don't even know how to start a brand, I pretty much will help somebody start their brand from scratch. If somebody already has a brand or a business, I'll pretty much help them start their business to either grow or get them followers with sales, whatever it is. That's pretty much like what I do in my mentorship. Like, I pretty much add myself on the team and we grow the business.
Okay. Yeah. And for the people that's listening and watching and they interested in doing that, where do they go to?
You guys would go ahead and go on my Instagram page. And by the time you guys see this, if the mentorship slots are all taken, then I have some bad news for you. But if it is available, my mentorship is in the link in my bio. All my courses, everything that I have is in my link in my bio.
What you think is the number one thing that keeps entrepreneurs back regarding growing their brand, sales, and all that? What do you think is the number one reason that holds people up from that?
I think the consistency, the drive. For me, you know,
I agree.
I've been consistent for like 4 years now, I think, and it still keeps me up and running. That's really like me. Like, I'm a consistent designer. I'm really a creative, and I know how social media works, so I always can keep up with it.
How did you stay consistent when you weren't seeing results?
I just felt like in that time when I was not seeing those results, I'm like, okay, like, Kayla, like, do you really want to give up and give everyone this satisfaction? And because before I started my brand, I'm like, I had a lot of people that, you know, we all fell out. I lost friends. You know, I was like sad. I was depressed. I had like a lot of drama going on in my life. And I was in the process of starting my brand. So I'm like, okay, in these times where it's not going the best that I thought it would be, 9 months straight, probably only made, I think, $700, $800 till the end of the year. I finally got my first buzz on social media. I was just thinking, like, do you really want to give everyone the satisfaction of you quitting your business? Like, it's only been 9 months, you know? Like, I just didn't want to quit. I just couldn't.
Because I agree. Consistency is probably the hardest thing, because once you're not seeing results, most people is going to be like, man, most people, especially in your position, they would have quit. 9 months, $700, most people would have been like,
yeah,
I guess it's just not for me.
I was just like trying to do whatever I can. I was on Instagram every day trying to grow my followers. I'm trying to design for other people so I can, you know, make money on the side as a side hustle. I was in school and I was getting a financial aid check. So whenever I got those checks, I remember the last check I got a financial aid check for like maybe like $700. I remember I think I bought some new shoes for my photo shoot, and then I invested $400 into like these track suits. And when they came in, I was like, yep. I was like, I told my friend, I'm like, should I do it? They're like, yeah, like you got to do it. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do it. Bought those track suits. They came in, And then they went viral on Twitter. That was my first time going viral, though. Change and I was like, life. Wow. Yeah, that's when I got a buzz. And it wasn't even like a huge viral thing. I just went, got a little bit of buzz, and I just kept being consistent with it.
Being consistent. When you got some momentum, you gotta business, keep going. You got to keep going. Yeah. I preach this to people all the time. Like, the worst thing you can do when you get hot and build momentum is stop. It's to stop. Because once you stop, whenever you come back, it's going to be hard to build that momentum back up. And even if you, and it might be easy, but even if it's easy, imagine what would have happened if you kept going. If you never stopped. Where exactly. would you be at? So exactly. you got momentum. Because building momentum is the hardest thing to do in business. So once you got it, the last thing you need to do is say, oh, I'm going to take a break now. You need to know. You need to double down now. Keep going, because it's going, you got all the heat to go crazy.
Yeah.
For real. So that's big. But I like what you said, you got that $700 check and you invested. That speaks to, at the end of the day, who you are and why you're in the position you in.
Yeah.
Because most people in their last 700, they not taking that risk.
Mm-hmm.
They not taking that risk to bet on themselves, because they like, if I lose it, I'm at zero.
Exactly.
You didn't care.
I didn't care. I was on the phone. I'm just like, you know what? I just placed the order. Let's wait a couple months. I mean, a couple weeks later, it came in. And I was like, yeah, let me learn how to market this.
Mm. I got two more questions for you. First one is, so somebody that's listening to this right now, a young woman or a young guy, they was in the position that you was in when you was at Foot Locker, and you was like, man, this is not for me.
Yeah.
What is your best piece of advice for them if they want to emulate kind of what you, it might not be clothing, it could be something else, but if they want to become successful, hit that 7-figure mark, what's your best piece of advice for them?
I would definitely tell them to find a mentor, you know, study.
Why is that important?
Because it's like, you gotta be able to learn from somebody. Like, you gotta be able to find someone. Like, we have social media nowadays. It's just like, there's so much information everywhere. And when I started, there wasn't as much people like doing what I do. So I would try to find information on any topic possible. Like, you know, your parents would tell you, you know, when you graduate high school, you're going to go to school, you're going to have good credit. Make sure you have good credit and make sure you save your money. That's all they tell you. Right. I already knew I need to learn something. So I learned about credit. I used to watch YouTube videos on credit, real estate, investing, business, everything. So I had my mentor at that time, I guess you could say, was Grant Cardone and other people on YouTube that teach me, like, okay, mindset, how to have a good mindset, how to run a business and things like that. I just watch YouTube like every day, just trying to learn something new about credit or whatever it was. But I would tell someone, you know, make sure you have a mentor. There's a lot of opportunities out here. I feel like people should start reading books more. Books really do help open up your mind, and it makes you smarter too. So, and I definitely would tell them, like, whatever you think you want to start on your business, like, if you feel like it's right, like, just start it. You know, don't hold back and stay consistent.
What if they ain't got the perfect situation?
So there is no perfect situation. I know people that had horrible situations, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like there is no perfect situation, and there is no right time to start either. Like, it's just, you just take that risk, and you either not take the risk and never find out on what happens on the other side, or you take the risk and it could work out. And if it doesn't work out, you can go back to the drawing board and go back and try again.
No, I asked that question for a reason, because people will hear that, because people always say, well, I'm waiting on this before I start. Oh, I'm waiting on this before I start. And it's like, dog, I'm telling you right now, once you wait on this, let's say if you wait on it and it happens, there's going to be another problem. And then there's going to be another problem. So you have to start regardless. You can't wait until there's no problems, because there will never be no problems. It's always going to be problems. Business is nothing but problems.
That's true.
Every day, man, I swear, every day I'm faced with new problems. Yesterday, they tried to disable my Instagram account.
Really?
Somebody DM'd me. He was just like, hey, somebody paid me to take down your Instagram. I'm letting you know it's going to be down within the next 24 hours. I swear. I'm thinking he's trying to scam me, bluffing. I'm like, man, get your ass on.
Did it happen?
It happened. He said, I start talking to him. I said, man, if you don't, man, whatever. I'm thinking he's trying to scam me for real.
Wow.
Because he's like, I'm just letting you know if you want to pay me for recovery. I said, he was like, because I already know some other people that can help me with the situation. Yeah. And I kind of said that. I was like, he was like, you think they better than me? I'm still thinking he's bluffing. He was like, all right, watch this. I swear to God, Caleb, less than 45 seconds, that shit kicked me out my Instagram. Your account
what?
Has it. I said,
That happened to me twice, about two times or three times.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like Instagram, like, I hope with this new update, these hackers can like stop. That happened to me, and I had to make a whole new Instagram from scratch, 2021 June.
Damn.
And then now I have like 140K followers. Yeah. I think in a year I grew 80,000 maybe followers. Yeah.
That's amazing for real.
So I had to restart.
These hackers, they cold like, so it's like, but I was just speaking on how in business, that's a problem.
That's a huge problem.
That's a huge problem. So luckily, he pulled it right back for me. When I hit him on a different account, he like, all right, I got you. He got it right back. But that just go. It's always something in business. So you can't never wait until the perfect situation. When I started this podcast, I started off my cell phone shit. I ain't know nothing about podcasting. Yeah. I used to just call somebody on the phone, put it on speaker, get my other phone and just record it and just hold it there.
Wow. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't, like, if I waited until I got all these cameras in the studio, I wouldn't be here right talking to you right now. I promise you that. So that's definitely a game. My final question I got for you, you talked about books. So you led me right into it. What's your top three books?
Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I like The Law of Power. It's just cool. I feel like The Law of Power kind of helps with like selling to like sales. And then my last book, it's like more of like a poem kind of book.
Really?
It's like a personal favorite for me.
Okay.
I think it's called Milk and Honey. I don't remember.
You into poetry and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of like a self-love kind of book.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I like that.
And people need those too. Sometimes it can't be always about business. You need an outlet too.
Yeah.
So for sure, like I learned that probably within the last couple of years. I was just so busy. Everything was business, business, business. That's the quickest way to get burnt out.
It's fast.
You need something. You need another hobby. You need some kind of outlet to keep that fuel, because everything just can't be business all the goddamn time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I agree.
Before we wrap up, I want to say, I appreciate you taking the time to fly. We know we've been talking about this for a minute. We're going to have to do it again. You finally coming on the show and doing this, locking in. I know the audience, they're going to really love this. But before I let you go, plug all your stuff where people can follow you, become a mentee, everything you got.
All right. So my Instagram is Kayla Perilla. My business page is Kings Play Apparel. I have a YouTube page, Kayla Perilla, and my Twitter, it's also Kayla Perilla. Also, the links are all on my social media pages. Everything you guys need to start a clothing brand. If you want to start a business, I have courses, I have vendors, I have graphic designers, I have everything you need. And I have a lot of successful clients right now that I help to start their business as well. So, yeah.
Make sure y'all follow Kayla on all platforms. And I'm going to put that link in the show notes for the people that's interested. They could just hit that link and get right to it. And wrapping up, y'all can follow me on all platforms at Xavier Miller. I'm at the official Xavier Miller on Instagram. And y'all can follow the Millionaire Mindsets podcast on all platforms as well. And that's all I have for y'all on this episode of Millionaire Mindset. See y'all next week. Peace.
Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. Know Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.